Hi, besties, and welcome back to the Sad to Savage podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Sacco. Hey. And in today's episode, I already know it's going to be all over the place, y'all. I'm so excited to talk about this. I have so many thoughts, so just get ready for a lot of side notes. But in today's episode, I want to talk about imposter syndrome. I also want to talk about how it is literally preventing you from living your dream life, living the life you want, living the life of your dreams. I wanted to talk about this in an episode because so many people weirdly ask me if I have imposter syndrome. I literally don't. I do not have imposter syndrome. I do not struggle with it. I want this for everyone and I want to share my opinion on it. I just saw a video the other day. I think a lot of people struggle with it because I saw a video the other day of Alex Cooper from Call Her Daddy. Now, I don't listen to that podcast, but my roommates do. Actually, no, I just lied. The Kelsey Ballerini episode, yes. Yes, I watched it three times. But she made a video and she was like doing this crazy, like touring, looking like a celebrity. And she was like saying she had imposter syndrome. And I'm like, what? But you're literally doing it. You're living that life. Like, that's you. How do you feel this way? So I really want to break it down. At first, I really didn't understand why people asked me if I have imposter syndrome. And then I started looking a little bit deeper. And I think that because I've entered a whole new world, a whole new career, a whole new level of online growth, like I own two businesses. What? I own two businesses. My first job out of college that I worked at for a year and 8 months, I made $30,000 and was never taken serious. But now I'm running two. Like, I have this whole new life, and it might seem overwhelming maybe to other people, but to me, I feel like it's very natural. But I think that it's natural because of other things that I did and other habits that I have in place. I think a lot of people struggle with imposter syndrome, you know, like in like everyday world where they want to be a gym girly, but that's not them. Or that's off-brand, or they want to read, but they're scared that if they post a book, people will like make fun of them or say something about them. Or they want to get into affirmations. I don't know why I'm stuttering so much today. I'm just so excited. They want to get into affirmations, but don't want to post about it because they haven't in the past. Like, there's so many things, so many choices, so many little moments in life that could give us imposter syndrome. I also want to say that I personally believe that imposter syndrome is essentially a sister to fearing judgment from others, where they don't mean the same thing, but I think that they're so closely related. Now, Google's definition of imposter syndrome is the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own effort or skills. To me, how I would define imposter syndrome is the inability to align with the version of you that you want to become and feeling stuck by places, people, or ways of thinking. Imposter syndrome is the self-limiting belief of all self-limiting beliefs. I wanted to talk in this episode, I'll give you guys advice after a brief little story time, but I wanted to talk about all of the things that I could have gotten imposter syndrome for in the last however many months, but didn't. And before I get into these, I think there are a few things that I've done that have actually helped me navigate away from imposter syndrome, such as working on self-love, working through all my negative thoughts, realizing that I can handpick my qualities and I can choose who I show up as, and also learning that I can change my mind whenever I want to. I can be literally whoever I want to be at any moment. And if there's one thing that I actually want you guys to take away from this episode, it's literally that. You can change your mind. You can change your daily routine. You can change your qualities, your future, your job, your career path, your life decisions at any moment. I literally studied broadcast journalism and criminal justice, and I'm a little health and wellness influencer, and I own two businesses, and I have a podcast. I thought I was going to be in the FBI my entire life, You can change your career path at any moment. It doesn't matter what your degrees are in. It doesn't matter your education level. Whatever you want to be, you can become. Now, I'm not saying it's going to just like snap your fingers and you're there, but you can have that life. You can have any life that you want. It requires a little bit of work, but the second that you choose it, the second you make the choice to become that person, you're already putting it in motion. You're already on your way. The hardest part's literally done. One of my favorite quotes, I don't think I've said it in a while, is change is hard at first, messy in the middle, and glorious at the end. I want that. I've thought about this for so long. I want that tattooed on my body so bad. My sister said I can't get the word hard tattooed on my body because it's a negative word and it will feed into my bloodstream. I'm like, okay. My older sister is really funny. She gets mad when I don't say her name. My older sister, Rachel, is very funny. To summarize that quick little spiel, your entire life, you are entirely up to you, and you can choose what you want for your life at any moment. Like, you know when people talk about life being like a book and you're like onto a new chapter with new characters, you get to choose when that happens. You get to say, nope, I'm moving on to a new phase. I'm choosing it. I'm choosing a new identity. I feel like I've taken on an entirely different identity and one that I got to pick. And I love it. I love my life. I'm so happy. I would not be happy if I stayed the same person that I was 2 years ago when I started my Sad to Savage journey. Now, you know how people say, like, you have to do things to get out of your comfort zone. I think your comfort zone isn't necessarily always a safe space. I think your comfort zone is more just like natural, and it's what you know, it's what you're used to, it's your habits. But if you make the decision that you want more for yourself, you want to work to become a new person, you don't have to fully leave your comfort zone all at once, right? We don't have to go 0 to 100. But you have to try new things that you have created self-limiting beliefs around in the past. Now, here are a few things that I could have gotten imposter syndrome over but didn't. I kind of want to talk through them and how I went about it, my perspective on it, and how each way that it could have ultimately happened or like gone about it. I think my life is beautiful and so positive, but I think imposter syndrome not letting that impact me is the reason. And so anyway, number one is posting my wellness habits online. I'm trying to think how to paint this picture, but let's go to Shelby in college. Now, this girl was absolutely insane, absolutely crazy little girl. I went to bed every night at 3. I probably slept until 12. I drank, I want to say like 4 to 5 days a week for 4 years, all of college. I was in extremely unhealthy relationships, had extremely, extremely bad relationships with food, with my body, with negative self-talk, with boys. I never cleaned my room. I literally, this is going to sound disgusting and I'm embarrassed. I need you guys to know I am genuinely embarrassed, but I don't think I ever vacuumed my bedroom in college. I don't think I did, and I lived in that bedroom for 2 years. I genuinely could put money on it. I vacuum my room usually at least once a week. Like, are you kidding me? I don't even think, to be completely honest, I don't even think that I wash my bedding that much. And I'm almost like blocking that out from my mind. Like, I don't want to remember that about myself because I'm really sweaty and I really sweat in my sleep. So I just know that wasn't right. But anyway, but picture that version of me, crazy, blacking out all the time, like sleeping in every day, not taking care of my, like, whatever. And then picture all of a sudden, that's the version of me that, you know, you're my friends from college, girls or guys I went to college with, whoever. And then all of a sudden you see me posting on TikTok. I kind of went silent on Instagram or social media for a while after college, but then all of a sudden you see me just posting all these things about how I'm changing my life. I'm going from sad to savage. I wake up every day at 5:20 a.m. I clean my room. I have a Sunday cleaning habit. I've worked to heal disordered eating habits. I did all these things, right? If I would have been scared and told myself people from college that knew a different version of me, people from high school that knew a different version of me, they're going to judge me. And if I would have let that thought stop me, it would just be very, very sad. I would not have this life because of someone else, because the fear of what someone else thinks, right? And then on another note, if I didn't post these things, how would I have deeply, deeply aligned with this person? Sharing my journey kind of was like the nail in the coffin of everything. Like, it was like, this really is who I am. Like, this is my life. I'm sharing it. And I got to show it. And I got to further identify. I got to choose that that was who I was. And I got to do things, actions, take photos, videos, seek out those moments that made me that person that I wanted to be. And it has fully encompassed everything about me now. Right? So I want to ask you, like, do you ever not post something that you're passionate about because you're scared of someone from your past or someone from your present judging you and being like, oh, they posted a book and they don't even read? Like, people just project, or people want other people to feel sad. Not everyone in the world is good. Took me a long time to learn that. Not everyone in the world wants what's best for other people. Not everyone wants everyone to be happy. And choosing things that you do for your life based on those people, what in the heck? Actually, what in the heck? If you ever get nervous to post something, just think, what would Shelby do? I'll post it. You know how many booty pics I post a week? So many. So many, right? And for anyone listening that doesn't follow me on social media, booty pics at the gym. And if you don't follow me on social media, you're missing out on the pics. You're missing out on that booty. Anyway, the next thing I want to talk about is starting my Sad to Savage class, which allowed me, I started it in April last year. I've had almost like 400 to 500 students. And that was the business that allowed me to quit my full-time job. And there were a lot of people that were mean to me about that, honestly. But if I would have let imposter syndrome affect me, I wouldn't have started that class. The reason I started that class is because I study, breathe, sleep, dream, eat habits. It makes me so happy. It is my passion. It is my purpose. And I have made it my life mission to help anyone and everyone who has ever felt how I felt change their life, change their habits, change their mindset, learn that they can, have the steps to actually do it. Because a lot of us want to change our lives, but it's that in-between that lets us procrastinate, or that in-between that sets us back, that's like, how do I fucking do it? Like, what is the secret? I've made it my life mission to teach everyone. At my class, I knew that I could do it. I have successfully taught so many people. I have seen the impact that class has had. I've watched people change their lives, and it's so beautiful. If I would have told myself, like, you're not a teacher, you're going to go to school for teaching, you can't do that. Like, why would you do that? Like, people are going to laugh at you. That would just, those thoughts, they keep you trapped. They don't let you grow. They don't let you have your new life. And so some things that I do, like self-love habits, talking to myself, telling myself I'm so smart, I'm so good at talking to people, I can be a business owner, I can be a CEO, I know what I have to do, encouraging myself instead of tearing myself down, it actually makes a difference. The way you talk to yourself, it really does matter. The things that you say, the way, like, it's natural to have negative thoughts. I think that society, people, we just programmed our brains to think negative. I don't know what year it happened, but it just happened. And so questioning that, challenging it, it's not going to feel super normal. But if you have a thought that's like, no, I don't want to apply for this job, I can't get it, you will literally never know. You will never know. If you say, oh no, I'm too embarrassed to post this, you don't know who could have seen that and wanted to become friends or wanted to talk or change their life because of something that you wanted to share. Or say you don't want to go to the gym and you don't identify with the gym, or people are going to make fun of you, or your friends are going to be like, why are you acting like a gym girl? Those are all things that stop you. They all stop you. It's so crazy. My next thing would be going on podcasts, commercials, TV news stations. Those are things you think you could get imposter syndrome from, at least from my perspective. I'm like, huh, like the day that I got asked to go on the first podcast ever to talk about habits, I got asked to go on Jenna Palak's podcast, and I actually almost threw up. Now that I think about it, I was like, oh my God, what is going on? What is my life? This is so crazy. But instead of saying no or being like, I don't deserve to be on a podcast, all these things, I'm like, yes, I want to go on this. I'm going to do so great. I love talking about these things. Like, this is who I am. I want to make new friends. I want to find new people to connect with. This is amazing. I didn't feel any other way. I'm like my own hype person, and I get to choose any new thing that comes to my life. I get to choose it. I got asked to be on like a Texas news station talking about eating 60-80% healthy. I mean, my entire family watched me, my entire family. I'm like, yeah, I just go on the news. Like, yeah, who wouldn't want to hear about these things? I'm trying to think how to explain these things, because I don't struggle with imposter syndrome, so it's hard to play devil's advocate. But really, what I want to say, it really all comes down to that. I choose my thoughts. I choose how I want to feel about something. I choose how I am in the moment. My fourth thing on my list is becoming an owner of my company memory. This, like, I'm a full-blown CEO business owner. I'm about to move to North Carolina. I'm about to run the company in person. We're hiring employees, like CEOs in her office. What? And you know what's even funnier, you guys? Like, who made the rules for how a CEO acts? And who made the rules for like 9-to-5s and typical company culture? Because they all suck, in my opinion. I've never worked for a company that I'm like, this company is amazing. I love it. It helps me be a better person. It makes me so happy. I love coming to work. Why would I ever want to follow those rules when I own a company? I've been really thinking about this. When I'm CEO, I'm making the funniest rules, and I'm so excited. One thing that I'm going to do is, part of training is going through my 6-week class. Everyone's going through it. And you know what? I give everyone, I want everyone to have enough time in the morning to establish a morning routine. I'm going to teach them how to do it. Whenever I wear a cute outfit to the office, I might require a few employees to post a picture of me in their Instagram story and say, my boss with hard eyes. Yes. But I want, like, I get to be CEO and I don't have imposter syndrome about it, because I'm choosing the role. I'm choosing who I show up as, right? It's like, I'm not faking it. I get to be what my idea of it is. Also, one time I was on a company meeting with my business partner, and they started using all these business terms for memory. Now, I was not a business girl. Yeah, as I said earlier, I was a criminal justice broadcast journalism major, loving student. I literally loved crime. Anyway, I didn't know any terminology, I don't even remember them right now. But when I would be on these calls, I would fake a Wi-Fi connection. Like, I'd be like, my Wi-Fi is going out, give me one sec, so that I could literally turn off my camera and Google whatever terms they were talking about. And then I'd come back and I'd be like, oh yeah, and talk about the subject, right? It was literally just like kind of bullshitting, but I'm like, whatever, I'm going to be CEO of this company. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do great at it. And anything that I don't know, I can just learn. Like, I can become this person if I want. Now, if imposter syndrome is a roadblock for you, I just want to tell you one thing. And knowing me, this is going to probably turn into multiple things, but who is living your life? It's you. It's literally, I mean, you're living your life, right? And you're going to make it whatever the fuck you want it to be. Oh my God. Side note, someone wrote a review saying that they love my podcast, but they can't listen in the car with their kids because my naughty mouth, and I genuinely feel bad about swearing. So I'm sorry about that. But I got to really say it to drill the point home. This is your fucking life. Who cares if your friends from high school or random people from high school who follow you are going to see it? Take one step deeper. Who cares if random people talk about you? Who cares about if anyone talks about you? The only person that could care is you. And the thing is when you realize that no one else has to live your life, no one else has to wake up in your body, go to your job, do these things, it will help you realize that no one else's thoughts should impact you. Everyone makes their thoughts based on their own life, their own experiences, their own environments, their family, their morals, how they were raised, their religion, their education. Everyone makes these decisions based on them, and they project them onto other people. They stop other people. Say someone is at their job and you're talking about, oh, you know what? I've got a story. I was at my job. I was at my old job, and I would always, on breaks when we had lunch or we were just doing nothing, I'd be like, does anyone want to make a TikTok? And everyone would be like, no, literally no. The people I worked with were a little bit older, so I get it. And then I only really had one friend at this job. There weren't that many people though, but it's one more friend that I had at my previous job. But this girl, she came up to me and she was like, yeah, like they were talking about like the team, like asking me if I actually thought you could become a TikToker, like if I actually thought you could. And they were like kind of making fun of my TikToks and whatever. And she was like, I said you could do it. And the thing is like those people might not want that the same life that I wanted. They might not believe in me. They might think what I was doing was cringy. But their idea of cringy videos launched my career, has given me the best life ever. And if I would have gotten insecure or been like, oh yeah, I'm not a TikToker. Like I'm not someone who could do that. I'm not someone who wakes up early. I'm not someone who could do this. Those things, those aren't my thoughts. Those are someone else's that I would have adopted and let into my life and let derail me from my purpose, my passion, and make my choices for me. You know, basically if you let the fear of someone else's thoughts or actions dictate your life, it's no longer yours. And you owe it to yourself to do things that make you feel happy, to try new things. If you want to do something, post something, feel proud about something, maybe say something to a friend or a family member, I want you to ask yourself, what would I do? I would freaking do it. I would do it. I was just reading a book. It's called Contagious. I actually really, really like it. If anyone's looking for a book, it has a red cover. I don't know who it's by, and it's in my bedroom. I'm filming in my office. But in this book, it was talking about basically people feel good when they share about themselves, when they share what they're doing, when they say like you're writing affirmations and you share it on your story. You feel like that might make you feel really good, right? And it furthers the identification, the connection between you and those affirmations. You, the more you start sharing about it, the more you start talking about it, or doing it, the more you're going to align with it. And that is going to help you shift and continue to shift into that person. It doesn't happen overnight. It's little choices that add up. But the thing is you're going to make those choices, and you can, and you will, because I'm telling you, or else I'll literally be at the end of your bed in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. tonight with my red light therapy face mask on. And I'll scare you guys if you don't start choosing and showing up for yourself and doing the things that you want to do without fearing imposter syndrome. I feel like who made that term up, because I'm actually pissed at them. Also, there's kind of like a theme that I see within my life. And I'm going to be honest, it's not the best theme. But when I was sad, in the beginning of my Sad to Savage journey, I didn't talk to anyone. I struggled with disordered eating for 8 years. 8 years. And I laugh not because it's funny, but it's just like, holy shit, that's a long amount of time. And I didn't talk to anyone. I was in the most toxic relationship, literally such a bad relationship. And for a year and 8 months, I didn't talk to anyone. I do not talk to other people when I'm struggling, when I have problems. I just had the loneliest year of my life. And I didn't really talk to anyone. I did after a while. I started hallucinating. I didn't talk to anyone. I don't know why that's my theme, but I do. I want to say something about this, so maybe I can take my own advice. I think it's deeply rooted in the fact that I'm scared of people judging me or discrediting my feelings. for my sad to savage journey, I was scared people were going to say, you're not sad. You have a good life. You're pretty on the outside. You were raised in a middle-class family. You had all these things and you don't deserve to be sad, or what's there to be sad about? I was so terrified of just being so, having my feelings just be like ripped apart, that it stopped me from ever talking to someone. Now, I don't suggest doing that. I do suggest therapy is an amazing option. I couldn't afford it at the time, which is another reason why I love doing what I do right now, to help anyone that can't afford therapy or who doesn't know. Like, I feel like this, they make signing up for therapy and finding a therapist so fucking hard. But I was just so scared of that. So then I think about, in the beginning of my sad to savage journey, this repetitive theme of not talking to people about things. I started this journey and I wanted to post about it because in my head, it was like I was saving myself, but I knew I was doing it because I was going to help my sisters. And I thought maybe I would help other people too. I wanted to align with this new person. I didn't want people to say, like, I wanted to show the actual parts of me, not parts of me being fake on social media, where before I literally, you would have thought I was in love with my boyfriend. You would have thought I loved my life. I was so happy. I was just a happy little baddie from all the stuff that I posted on Instagram during the worst time in my entire life. The novels and the captions of photos of me and my ex-boyfriend, you guys would have actually probably thrown up. I can't even bring myself to look. I screenshot them before because I was like, maybe I'll want to talk about them in a TikTok one day. I can't even bring myself to read them. I'm like, that's so embarrassing. What? Why was I putting on this show? But the more, sorry, I'm kind of going in circles, but the more that I just decided that I wanted to be this new person, I wanted to post about it, I became it. I wasn't looking for anyone else to validate my feelings. I wasn't looking for anyone else's opinion on who I was going to be, how I felt, what I wanted to do. And it was one of the best choices that I've ever made looking back. So if there's something that you want to do, if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, ask yourself why. What is it more deeply connected to? What is it more deeply rooted into? Is it negative thoughts that you have telling yourself that you can't be this person, that you're not deserving? What are those thoughts? What's stopping you? If you're looking for something to help, I love self-love habits. I love the habit loop. Wait, all of a sudden I closed my eyes when I was saying that and I just saw the habit loop in a painting. Why don't I have that? Maybe I'll paint it this weekend, put it in my office. But in the habit loop, just a refresher, you have a cue, a routine, and a reward. And it follows a cycle over and over and over until you form a habit, right? So sit and ask yourself, are there any habits that you can create in your life to help with imposter syndrome? Can you write, say you're struggling with, you've been promoted at work and you're struggling, you have imposter syndrome. Can you create a self-love habit? Can you create a habit of cue anytime you log on to work, routine, reading a sticky note that you put on your computer screen that says, I'm smart, I'm deserving, I'm a badass, whatever position you are. And then the reward being you feel good, you're choosing your thoughts for the day. What is a small habit that you can implement if you're struggling with judgment from others or imposter syndrome? And you know what? That's your homework. I need all y'all to do it right now. If you're listening to this on a walk, pull out your notes app. If you're listening to this while driving, wait till you get home. Wait till you get home. Sit in your car before you get out of that car. Sit and say, okay, if I'm struggling with imposter syndrome, where is it? Really ask yourself. There's no procrastinating this. There's no putting it off. But another thing is, if you can't think of it, that's fine. But I want you to become aware in the future of any time that you second guess yourself or you feel like you're struggling. And I want you to say, you know what? That's the thing. And I'm going to sit here and think about this for like 2 seconds. I'm going to think about it so that I can slowly start to work through it, so that I can align with the person I want to become, and so that I can reach my dream life. Feeling a little crazy today. This episode was bopping all over the place. But I love you guys so much. I'm so grateful for you. I don't want anyone to struggle with imposter syndrome because it is so limiting. It is literally just like a barrier built up and it doesn't need to exist. You can literally encompass any person with any qualities. I challenge you to do one thing this week that would align with the best version of you, the person that you want to become that maybe you haven't done in the past out of fear. I love you guys. Thank you for being here and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.